Hello, my name is Christopher Gildemeister, and I'll be your host on today's special edition podcast of the Public Speaking Superpowers. You may notice a change in format. As of this episode, the podcast will now be available in both video and audio formats. And to launch the new format, I'm interviewing Karma Spence, the author of Public Speaking Superpowers and the regular host of this show. Karma is an award-winning speaker and editor, and the author of 4 books and numerous other e-books. She holds a degree of honor with the National Speech and Debate Association and has earned her Distinguished Toastmasters Award, the highest award given by Toastmasters International, which has recognized her achievements in public speaking and in leadership. She's a member of several national speaking associations and has spoken for several national organizations. Karma's next book, which is the namesake of this podcast, Public Speaking Superpowers. Unleash Your Inner Speaking Superhero and Communicate Your Message with Confidence will be available for pre-sale this August and will be released in September of this year, 2018. Welcome to your own podcast, Karma.
I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be the one to interview you.
Thank you.
So tell us about your journey to public speaking success.
I would say that started back in high school. Your junior year in high school, you had to take a public speaking class, which, like most of my classmates, I didn't want to do, but you had to do it. So being academically minded, I don't get anything lower than a B, or I got punished by my parents. I put my back into it. And luckily, my father, who was an educator, had some experience with speaking, and he acted as my coach. And apparently, his coaching was good enough, or maybe my innate amminess was good enough, that the teacher recognized me and said, "Hey, Karma, you should join the speech team next year." And I went, "Me?" But I took it to heart, and I went home, and I asked my dad what he thought about it, because, of course, this was an extracurricular activity and required parental support, and he was all for it. So I joined the speech team my senior year in high school, and I competed in all the competitions, and I placed most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, and that record earned me the degree of honor with the National Speech and Debate Association, and I lettered in speech my senior year. So I actually had a big old letter like you find on sports jackets, which I thought was odd, but it was something three-dimensional that said I did something good. So from there, I went on to, pretty much I went to school and really didn't think about speaking again until I graduated from school and got a job at a software company that decided to host a Toastmasters group. So I became a charter member of SCO Toastmasters. And I loved it. It reinvigorated my love for speaking. And so I gave all my speeches while I was a member of that club. The first 10 speeches are what give you your first award. And I started working my way toward my second award. But then I went to grad school. And I tried to join a Toastmasters club on campus, but it kind of died. And then when I got a job after school, I tried to join a Toastmasters club there, but it sort of died. And I kept having this dream of being a speaker, but I didn't know how to make it happen. So I started a blog. I called it Public Speaking Secrets, or The Secrets of Public Speaking, something like that. And it was on that blog that I posted the article that became the genesis of my book and this podcast. And so that's sort of the journey. From there, I've rejoined Toastmasters. I've spoken for organizations. I have been doing these videos and then podcasts, and it's just growing from there.
What are some of the organizations you've spoken for?
I have spoken for the Assistance League of America, which is an organization that helps youth grow in leadership skills. So I was very fortunate to teach them about speaking. And because of my Public Speaking Superpowers blog, which I started when I first started this book project, I was tapped to speak at the Western Museums Association. They were looking for someone to talk about speaking in this particular way. And I happen to have a blog post on that topic. So I became a part of a three-part group that gave a presentation on how to speak better. And then there have been other more business-oriented organizations that I don't know the names off the top of my head.
You mentioned earlier your own innate hamminess being a contributing factor to your success. Do you believe that speaking depends on an innate talent, even if the talent is hamminess? Or is it a skill anyone can learn?
It's kind of both. I think what happens is there are certain tendencies we all have that are nurtured by how we grew up. And those particular talents may predispose us to becoming good speakers. That said, all of it can be learned. You can learn to be a ham if you want to. You can be nurtured to be a better speaker. You can learn how to do vocal variety or pause. Those are all skills that you can learn. It's just that some people, because of how they grew up, how their parents were, what classes they took, are more predisposed to pursuing speaking than others.
So would you draw a comparison maybe to music? We're not all born a Mozart, but anybody can take piano lessons.
Yeah, exactly. And some of us will be really, really good at it, and some of us, not so much. But with practice, you can get better. You can get, and with speaking, you can get to the point where you are good enough to get a good grade in class, to get your promotion, or promote your business.
So you would say that anybody can learn to be a competent speaker.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, the title of your book is Public Speaking Superpowers. You are a public speaking superhero, as your resume demonstrates. But what do you think your public speaking superpowers are?
I would say on the one power is my ability to translate complex topics for an ordinary lay audience. So I'm able to take things and break them down into manageable bite-sized pieces. I've spent a lot of my career being a science writer, and that is a necessary skill. And I think that lends itself to the type of speaking I tend to do, which is more educational. I also think that I have this maybe a natural talent, or maybe it's something I've developed, to talk with my audience rather than at my audience, which is probably an interesting skill given that I tend to teach, because teaching is usually thought of as talking at your audience. You're like up here and you're saying this, that, the other thing. But I like to bring the audience in like we're all in one big living room. I don't like to think of me on the stage and you are the little people out there. I like to make it more conversational.
Well, of course, the best teachers are interactive.
Yes.
The ones who work with their students or their pupils.
Indeed.
So, summarizing, your superpowers are?
The ability to translate complex information and the ability to talk with my audience.
And in your book, you name several other superpowers: passion, authenticity.
Yes.
Do you have these also? Or?
Well, they're all part. I mean, I would say like the speaking with an audience, that could be what translates for my authenticity. Because the thing with authenticity is that you are true to who you are. And some people are just more naturally performers who perform at an audience. And that has its place in the speaking world. It's just not my style.
Well, you bring this up, and having read your book, I can say that that leads into some of your public speaking superhero archetypes. So
yes.
What you just mentioned, would that be the character Razzle Dazzle that you use?
Razzle Dazzle is not my style. Razzle Dazzle is the performer.
Exactly.
I'm more of the professor.
Okay.
And I would say with a secondary side of Captain Colloquial.
These are all characters that you will learn more about when you read Public Speaking Superpowers, as I know every one of you in this audience is going to want to do.
Exactly.
Finally, Karma, what advice would you give someone who wants to develop their public speaking superpowers?
Well, in relation to the two I have, to be able to speak with an audience, you want to, number one, think of it as more of a conversation. You're not
out there being a performer, which means you want to get comfortable with your body language, so you're not going, oh yes, I need to move my arm this way, or oh, I need to move my hand this way. Those are things you do when you're first training to speak, so you kind of get to the point where you're comfortable with how your body moves. But in order to speak with the audience, you need to be really comfortable in your body so that you're just moving naturally. And then you're also speaking naturally. You have a natural modulation of how, like, I'm speaking with you. This is how I would speak with you, whether there was a microphone there or not. I guess the big difference is people who speak at the audience, there's a wall. There's like an invisible wall between them and the audience. I am the expert. You are the audience. And it tends to be very precise and rehearsed. So it's like acting a part and being a bad actor.
But I think that most people, when they think of public speaking, think of a politician or a performer, a teacher, a lecturer.
Mm-hmm.
And in those settings, is it necessarily always a good idea to bring your audience in and be conversational?
No. In fact, like I said, there, the style of speaking I tend to do, it's beneficial to speak with the audience. But there are going to be times when you're going to want to have that layer of authority, like when the president gives a speech.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say he because that's all we've had, but if there was a she, there would be she too. There needs to be that air of authority. So going back to the archetypes we talked about, power performer. He can speak with the audience, but more likely he's going to be much more in performance mode and speak a little bit more at the audience than with, because he is projecting leadership and authority. And it's a different style of authority than Captain Colloquial or the professor would do, which is more homegrown and personable.
Again, Captain Colloquial and Power Performer
are
all characters or archetypes in public speaking superpowers. It also occurs to me that the point of the speech is going to determine which style you use. If you're the president or the president of a corporation or a governor or mayor or what have you, the point is information is flowing from the top down. You are there to inform people about decisions you have made or what they are going to have to do or what have you.
Exactly.
It's less educational in the sense of you're trying to bring people in and help them along.
Exactly. So like most of the presentations I give, I'm teaching people how to do something. So I've done presentations on landing pages and websites. I've done presentations on how to speak. Those kind of things, you need to get the audience feeling like they are your friend, like they are one-on-one with you so that they can feel like they can do that too.
I've also seen, among her many other superpowers, Karma is an amazing multitasker, I've also seen your cooking blog, and your style in that is also very much what you're saying.
Yes.
You're talking about, here's what you do next. You can grind this, and I do it this way, but you can do this.
Yes.
It's conversational.
Right. And the point of that blog is unleashing people's kitchen creativity. So you have to get people in on it.
You're all about empowering others and unleashing their creativity.
Yes. Yes, I am.
And maybe that's your true superpower, is empowering others.
I hope so. I hope I'm effective at that.
Well, she's certainly been effective at that with me. And I want to thank Karma Spence for being with us on her own podcast today. And thank you, and best of luck with the launch of your book, Public Speaking Superpowers.
Thank you.